People will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down at the feast in the kingdom of God. This is the text we often use at the welcome to a communion service. I'm sure you recognize that verse. If you're a regular bus user like myself, I'm sure you'll be glad to think that now the festival's coming to an end, there will be fewer tourists standing around the doors and blocking the way as we try to get in the bus and they're not sure where they are, or we try to get off the bus because they still don't know where they're going. I'm getting grumpier, of course, about this, but it happens so often. It even happens in that stupid new bus with the door in the middle. And I don't know why it is. I know that if you go to Venice and you get on the bus there, which is, of course, the Vaporetto, people stand outside because they don't want to go into the stuffy interior, whereas I head for a seat that has got the sign on it for the aged, and I find a child sitting in it. But it's difficult to get on and off there as well because people hang about near the entrance. And I've seen a lot of this. My experience of the island ferries was always that people would start crowding around the door before we'd tied up. Or in Iona, as the wee ferry was coming across, people went down the jetty and got their feet soaked, because when it came up and put the flap down, all the water ran up and it served them right. But they were all there doing what I heard a German tourist, a German fellow passenger say on a cruise I was on. They were scratching at the door. They were there waiting to be, we thought, maybe the first out. But you'll know yourself that if they're the first out, they don't hurry across to get to the pier or walk off the bus. They get off and then they stand around to see where they are. And they do that on the ferry. They stop on the gangplank. So people that are really wanting to get off have to wait. And that's one of the things about doors that I've got off my chest now. The other thing is this, and maybe I've spoken about this before. This is among my treasured possessions. It's a card that I was sent in 1994 from one of my head teacher colleagues. In fact, he is now an ordained local minister. So I'm looking forward to meeting him at the reunion in October. And he sent me this card when he knew I was leaving to come to New College, and wishing me all the best. I didn't know about him until I found out he'd been ordained, so he'd kept it a secret. But then I wasn't in touch with the Argyll Mafia at that time. However, this is a funny card that shows you this very substantial-looking kid with a stripy jumper and a large behind, standing outside Midvale School for the Gifted, and he's pushing a door that has a big sign on it that says, pull. And of course, this gives a very new expression to the idea of pushing at an open door. I'll leave that there. It has a message of its own. The other message I have is I first came across an automatic door when I was on holiday in Sweden as a student. And I knelt down to tie my shoelace outside a bank. And the bank had plate glass automatic doors, of course, that opened outwards. So I got this bang on the head. I was lucky I was far enough away from the steps, because there's a huge number of steps up to this bank. But I got quite a severe blow from the automatic door. As we continue to look forward to the benefits of our soon-to-be improved church, we have to emphasize that our doors are always open in welcome to everyone who makes their way there. There's that hymn that I expect you know, let us build a house where love can dwell, and the chorus says, all are welcome in this place. And recently, of course, we've heard on May the 26th, if you remember, about Jesus saying, I am the door. And more recently, you've heard about the friend at midnight who came knocking because he had unexpected visitors and he woke up the neighbor. The question of our text today, which is about a door, it's the narrow door. It's not about the question of a door or a queue. It's about who then can be saved. Who then can be saved appears in Luke, Matthew, and Mark in other chapters. And here it's, will just a few people be saved? And of course the next question is, will I be one of them? But the question isn't about who may find their way into the kingdom of God, but about how many or how few. And as usual, Jesus is challenging the accepted ideas about God's grace and about God's favor, just as the psalmist did. The important thing is that God's love is for all humankind, not just for the chosen people, whoever they think they may be. See, the Jewish faithful have to overcome this great understanding or misunderstanding, and that's the reason for the ancestral iconic figures of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob sitting at the heavenly banquet. Because the other communion introduction is from Isaiah chapter 25, which I thought I had marked in here. Yes, I have. Here on Mount Zion, the Lord Almighty will prepare a banquet for all the nations of the world, a banquet of the richest food and the finest wine. Here he will suddenly remove the cloud of sorrow that's been hanging over the nations. There we are. But the Jewish people thought this was for them. And that was why when they went to the banquet, they'd be sitting down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And in the story of Dives and Lazarus, the rich man and the poor man at his gate, remember? Which comes in chapter 16 of Luke, if you want to go and look at it too. Because I won't be coming to that. I'll pass that bit by when we come in 2 weeks' time. The poor man goes to sit with Abraham at the same banquet, and the rich man sees him there. And he says, oh, Abraham, tell him to come back and warn my brothers. Remember that story? It's clear in these parables that those who have taken for granted their places at the banquet are going to be shut out. And that's the meaning of the narrow door. The Jews of old thought that the kingdom of God was promised to them as their inheritance. It was the covenant. And Jesus is saying what Isaiah said. The kingdom of God is open to everyone. People will come from the east and the west, from north and south, and sit down at the feast in the kingdom of God. Yet Jesus was also saying that door's not open forever. Some people will be shut out. Now, that doesn't fit in with the idea of all are welcome and the open door, does it? But it recognizes what a door is for. I think we might tend to think of an open door that is a door, not just a doorway, not just an open space. That's the function of a doorway and a door. And of course, if you're having a function, you maybe want to shut the door at some stage. Maybe God will do that. Do we expect a queue or bouncers or an old ticket service? I well remember somebody talking about the old ticket game when one of the two Catholic churches in Dumfries was burned down and they had to use the smaller of the two. And the guy in the pub says, I hear it's another old ticket game this Sunday. Because you had to have a card, which was something that they weren't used to. A one-way special offer until the door shuts. The people of the early days of the gospel believed that Jesus' return was imminent. He was going to come back, as the Bible says, like a thief in the night. It was going to be a big surprise. And yet, as it happened, perhaps the kingdom is here after all and we are in it. But we're not anticipating that second coming today or tomorrow, are we? But the point for the door symbol is that it's a one-way entrance. It's not like the door in the dining room and the exit to the kitchen where waiters can come and go as the door flaps like the doors on the Wild West Saloon, where the guy walks in and then gets thrown back out through the same doors. This is a door which opens from the inside and will be closed from the inside. It presents the idea of being opened for the welcoming of guests. And when Jesus speaks in the Gospels, he's addressing people to whom he was a real living presence. And when he said, "I am the door," he meant it. They were lucky enough to meet him in the flesh. They had the privileged opportunities that we can only imagine of hearing his voice, of taking his words directly into our hearts. Jesus wanted them to understand the meaning of God's way, a narrow way that won't be easy to tread for those who are encumbered by worldly possessions or held back by the preoccupations of gain or ambition or desire, all the things that can seem to be more important than the health of the soul, all the things that can divert us from the true values of real life. And Jesus wanted people to understand that there had to be a decision taken. There had to be a commitment made. There would be sacrifices and demands from those who claimed to follow Jesus. So there would be a time when the door was closed. Two of our best commentators on Luke's Gospel are T.W. Manson of Manchester and William Manson of Glasgow, both professors. I think they were cousins, in fact. And between them, they give us interesting insights on Jesus' words. Here we are. "There is an hour by which the ordinary householder expects his family to be indoors. So there is a time when God will close the gate of life. So a person has to make their own way in once the door is opened. And the entrance is narrow. It is a case of struggling through rather than strolling in. This means there is a limited time for repentance in life. When that time is up, it will be too late. Those who very likely passed by the open door often will knock in vain at the door now shut. And it won't be enough to say, 'Master, I heard you teach. Master, I'm from Nazareth, or I'm from Capernaum, or I was in Sabbath school with you, or I thought you were one of us.' The doorkeeper can say he doesn't know them. 'I don't know where you come from.'" In Greenside, when I was serving my time, Elizabeth worked in the Sunday school, my wife. And we had help from two boys from the Faith Mission Bible College who came along, and they were speaking to the boys and girls. And Elizabeth said to the second one, "Perhaps you can tell us where you come from." And he was Irish, by the way. And instead of saying, "I come from a small place in Ireland" or something, he launched into his full-blown testimony, because that was where he was coming from within. So when he says, "I don't know where you come from," there's more than one meaning. Maybe it's such a background story. It's what Jesus is suggesting would win recognition from the master of the house or the doorkeeper. That's another portrayal of God whose hospitality is illustrated in the stories of the wedding banquet, whose security is exemplary. Remember the guy who says, "Go into the highways and byways and bring in the waifs and the strays and the lame and the beggars," still throws out the guy who has not bothered to comb his hair or put a flower in his buttonhole. He does not have a wedding garment. Now that can mean anything. He hasn't acknowledged the fact that he's been invited. God will open the door of his kingdom to those he will recognize as travelers on his way. The sharing of communion may be the closest we come to a special personal encounter with Jesus as guests at that meal which prefigures for us the time of communion in God's kingdom. And we need to understand the idea of the hard road and the narrow door. It is a door of understanding. We need to understand what it means. It's the door that's in Revelation, a door that can be opened only from the inside. It is the door illustrated in Holman Hunt's famous painting, The Light of the World. And there, Jesus is the one who is outside the door, a door without a handle or the sign of a key. Only the insider can open that door. And that is the door of the human heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends. God will prepare a banquet for all nations, of the richest food and the finest wine. He will remove the cloud of sorrow that has been hanging over all the nations. He will wipe away the tears from everyone's eyes, take away the disgrace his people have suffered throughout the world. And that invitation is there, and that door is open. But remember, for you, it may not be open forever. And for me. Amen.